This is Radio Eco Shop with your host, Alex Smith.
As you heard, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres just demanded oil companies stop investing in new supplies of climate-killing carbon. They need to wind down those operations and find a new business model in sustainable energy. But you might as well ask a fentanyl addict to switch to yoga. They have just gone out to get us more deadly drugs. Fossil fuel industries claim greater demand forces investing all their recent big profits into even more production. We just had two interviews reporting on the splurge of fossil fuel investments by the biggest banks and private investment firms. April Merlot from Rainforest Action Network named the big banks lending billions for new drilling, mining, and fracking. Then Katrin Ganswind from the German group Urgewald revealed the investment companies putting trillions more to expand fossil fuel production. It's the exact opposite of what we need to do. You can find those interviews free at ecoshock.org. Take the case of so-called natural gas. It is just methane. And in America, 80% of it comes from fracking. Of course, blowing up the underground, injecting super toxic and radioactive chemicals to get those bubbles of gas broken up. Well, nothing could be more natural than that. Right? That is where we need Greg Aitken. As Europe scrambles for gas, Greg is editor of the weekly Inside Gas Bulletin for the NGO Global Energy Monitor. This free bulletin is like an industry insider about projects that every community and activist should know about. This interview was tough technically. The phone line to the Czech Republic was poor and disconnected Greg and I at least four times. We made it happen. And I may have to interrupt now and then if a clarification is needed. Listen carefully, though. You will hear how the gas industry is ramping up methane production to save the world from climate change, apparently. Even former green voices like Germany now have methane madness. From Brno in the Czech Republic, Greg Aitken, From Brno in the Czech Republic, Greg Aitken, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hi there.
Hi. So tell us about the scramble for natural gas in Europe after the sudden decline of Russian supply.
Yeah, well, obviously, last year, after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there was a big emergency situation where EU member states that had long been very dependent on Russian gas imports. Well, first of all, there were several countries that had their supplies cut off by Russia. But Germany was facing the problem because Russia was starting to reduce flows through the Nord Stream 1 gas pipeline, which has been operating for quite some time. So really, there was just a big rush for Europe to diversify away from Russian imports. And this was also a move that was taken forward by the European Commission, which introduced a program called the Repower EU plan, which essentially was looking to set targets for diversifying from Russian gas and also to be looking at energy-saving measures, basically reducing Europe's use of or consumption of gas out to 2030, which was tying in with longer plans in the making from Europe to get off gas. But the short-term effect was to really go for this huge scramble for gas, and European buyers really switched their thoughts to LNG. Now, Europe has had, over the last 15 or so years, quite a number of LNG import terminals, which hadn't, until recently, really been working at full capacity. Because of the rush for new LNG from the likes of the US, also from Africa, from the Middle East, these existing terminals started to be operating at much closer to full capacity. And alongside that, there was a lot of rapid planning of developing new terminals. And a whole raft of new projects were proposed. Quite a few were up and running within about 6 months of the war, some new floating import terminals in the Netherlands, and others have been planned and have been set in motion, and Germany has been the main focus for the new import terminal build-out. It has currently made operational 3 new terminals in about the space of a year, and it has 6 or 7 which are currently being planned or are under construction. So it's basically just been a huge effort to scour the globe looking for new gas supplies, which has been difficult because generally we're in a tight global gas supply period at the moment. And so the result was last summer to see skyrocketing gas prices, which also had major impacts on other countries, particularly developing world countries, where the huge prices caused major problems for gas supply to these countries, Pakistan, Bangladesh, other countries in Southeast Asia, which over the course of last year saw quite lengthy power blackouts, which were damaging for the economy, for society and so forth. So there have been many kind of knock-on effects from Europe's mad dash for gas.
You know, Russia would have been sending a lot of gas to Europe and other trading partners, and now it can't. What is it doing with the gas?
Well, it's trying its best to forge new deals with the likes of China, with a couple of major pipeline deals, which appear to be moving forward quite slowly. Russia is also currently making efforts to talk to other countries in Southeast Asia for cementing new, longer-term deals. At the same time, an interesting aspect in the whole Russian situation is not all pipeline gas from Russia has to the EU has been cut off. Some is still coming through a couple of pipelines, and also, interestingly, through a transit route in Ukraine. But one of the more embarrassing things, I think, for the European Union has been that supplies of Russian LNG have been coming through still to European ports, and there hasn't been, unlike with oil and other Russian products, there hasn't been a concerted effort to sanction Russian LNG flows, for example. So, as far as I know, there is a lot of Russian gas which is not being exported at all and is looking to be used, I think, for new projects in Russia. But it's been trying to diversify its exports, but it's fairly slow progress at the moment. But it's certainly, I think, aware that the writing is on the wall for Europe, for exporting to Europe longer term.
Well, natural gas, as it's called, is really methane, mostly methane. In your view, Greg, is the global natural gas industry expanding production, or is it just rearranging existing markets?
That's a very wide question. Just this week, for example, Shell is holding a kind of an investor day in New York where it is about to tell the investment community that it regards gas as more than just the transition fuel, which we've heard about for the last 10 years, but Shell is reportedly set to commit to increasing its investments in upstream exploration and production. Similar noises have been made from the likes of Chevron in recent weeks. And so the oil and gas majors are certainly winding back from the transition policies which have been in place for the last few years, and I think bowing to the investor pressure that they've felt for this. At the same time, as we come up to another climate summit in United Arab Emirates in November, I think there's alarm being raised at the fact that conference is obviously being led by a major petrol state with also huge gas interests. And I think climate groups are alarmed at basically the fact that getting phase-out commitments from countries so far hasn't materialized. It has materialized for coal, but there's nothing on paper or has been agreed to actually to get to a phase-out agreement for oil and gas. So it's difficult to say whether gas production is being expanded, but certainly there doesn't appear to be any quieting of new announcements for new exploration and production investments, even though the International Energy Agency 2 years ago, under its net zero emission scenario, was saying there is no more room as of 2022 for new production. So it's not looking great, I would have to say.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with our guest, Greg Aitken, from the Global Energy Monitor. Greg specializes in tracking world gas production. Do you know what percentage of gas is fracked compared to the old-style wells? I was just wondering.
I have to say that's difficult to know, really. I'm aware that, obviously, fracking is predominantly major technique used in North America, USA and Canada. According to the U.S. Energy Administration statistics for 2022, 80% of U.S. gas production came from shale formations. So, you know, that suggests that fracking was used for around about 80% in the U.S. Globally, I wouldn't be able to put a figure on it.
Well, I've heard that fracking is spreading to other parts of the world. Australia, Poland's talked about whether they have frackable reserves. It could spread and become a worldwide phenomenon.
Well, over the last 10 years or so, there's been a lot of speculation about fracking development globally. Australia, as you say, is one country where there have been some new developments. Argentina as well, with Vaca Muerta, major shale formation in that country, where some fracking is taking place and there are proposals for more. Generally, though, in many places that there have been moratoria put in place by national governments banning fracking. In Europe, there was a lot of fracking hype about 10 years ago, but fundamentally, the issue in Europe is much more densely populated continents and really limited water supplies, limited land available to carry out a practice which is widely regarded as being highly destructive and resource intense.
As we know, Poland built an industrial economy on coal, and now it seems everyone from the European Union to the United States will help Poland finance gas to just stop those coal emissions. Talk to us about gas politics and the outlook in Poland.
One of the interesting things about Poland is that because in the European Union context, because Poland has been really so much the bad boy in terms of its coal industry. Obviously, it's a decade-long industry which has, you know, dominated Polish society for a long time. But Poland has really been dragged, kicking and screaming, by the European Commission to make some concessions that the coal industry will have to decline. And so as a result of that, when it comes to Polish gas ambitions, what I've heard from colleagues in Brussels is that the European Commission is rather relieved if Poland budgets at all from coal. The plans for gas expansion, despite the EU's commitments to reduce gas consumption by 2030 and thereafter, Polish gas ambitions are somehow being tolerated. They have one LNG import terminal operational. They have plans for a couple more terminals. And I think also as well, in a recent deal last week, which was agreed by the US, a US government bank, it agreed to guarantee a $500 million financial deal, which allows one of Poland's biggest energy companies to import US LNG. So there are certainly political elements to the likes of Poland being permitted to get off coal via gas. But at the same time, Poland has a wealth of renewables potential, especially offshore in the Baltic Sea. the question really has to be asked of all the EU member states which have signed up to EU greenhouse gas emission reduction targets is, how long do you really want to lock in your economies to gas when you're legally obliged to be reducing your emissions?
We still hear gas promoted as a greenish bridge to a low-carbon future. Do you personally think there's enough room in the atmosphere for another few decades of burning gas?
I think gas will have to feature, and it can't be knocked out by 2030 or 2040. And I think most low-carbon scenarios see a role for gas out to 2050 and quite possibly beyond. It's just a worry and a concern that investments that are being lined up now, which are multi-decades in terms of how long they will potentially run for, that including gas, which obviously involves the combustion of methane, which is, and also much leaking methane leakage, that the prospects are, unless more and more of these investments are restricted, that we are going to below the carbon budget because of gas.
Has any country or institution gone so far to declare methane gas is a clean, green energy?
Yeah, well, in various ways, this is still happening. In the last month or so, in Mexico, gas-fired power was reclassified by the government as clean, for instance. In the last 6 months, in several U.S. states, there have been legislative moves to call gas clean and sustainable. One of the most kind of fought-over issues in Europe in the last couple of years regarded the European Union's so-called taxonomy for financially sustainable investments. And the EU, despite much pressure and despite much protest from climate groups and scientists as well, it decided to label gas as a sustainable source of energy. It's still happening.
And tell us about the UK's advertising watchdog banning big energy greenwashing that was being pumped out on the media.
Yes, well, this is part of a growing concern internationally about greenwashing claims for products of all kinds, but also marketing campaigns that are coming from major oil and gas firms. And the UK watchdog, which I think is currently drawing up new standards for what is permissible for companies to accurately show what they're doing, it took action in the last couple of weeks against Shell and against a couple of other foreign companies, which, as one sees very often, are very much heavily promoting the clean side of their businesses with electric charging points for vehicles and other nice things, which make up a minuscule percentage of these companies' business models. And the UK watchdog was basically making the point that this is all very well and good, but if you don't put this in the context of what your majority business is doing in terms of not reducing emissions, not planning to curb your production of oil and gas, then essentially you're misleading customers. So the prescription was to ban certain campaigns, particularly one from Shell.
We've been speaking with Greg Aitken, editor of Inside Gas Bulletin. Find it at www.globalenergymonitor.org. You can also find links to follow up in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Greg, thank you for helping us out.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.